Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Apostolic Voice. Today, we're going to take a different look at a few things today as we do this particular broadcast. Today, we want to look at myths in ministry. We want to look at myths concerning ministry. Because there are a lot of misconceptions out there as it relates to ministry. And I think it is expedient that we cover this and discuss myths that we have heard in the church concerning ministry and try to dispel a few of those myths as it relates to the ministry. And I know this may ruffle some feathers, but y'all know I don't mind being controversial when I have to be. Because as the hymn writer said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So with that said, I want to deal with myths concerning ministry. Let's start today as we look at ministry, leadership of the church, the apostolic, the bishopric, things that claim to be protocol, which are not. The first myth that we want to address today is, must one have a title to do ministry? Now, no one has to have a title to do ministry. There are leadership positions in the Bible. We have what we call teaching governmental gifts, which is the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, the pastor, teacher, a.k.a. the bishop. And then we have what we call support ministries. Some of these positions have greater responsibility, but they are not in a place of superiority over the brethren. I'm not hit that one yet. But you do not have to have a leadership position to be in ministry, because what messes a lot of people up is that our concept of what ministry is skewed. It's not biblical, because the word ministry in the Bible is the Greek word diakonia, where we get the word a deacon's ministry or the service of a deacon. There are a lot of people who do not understand what ministry in the church is. The ministry of the church is about serving. We all are called to serve. Not all of us are called to preach. We think that ministry is tied only to the preaching and teaching offices of the church, and that's not true. One does not have to be a pastor, a bishop, an elder, a prophet, an evangelist, an overseer, or whatever you're calling yourself, to be in ministry. Ushering is a ministry. Serving the tables is a ministry. Being a steward is a ministry. Being on the church governing board is a ministry. Washing cars is a ministry. Lord, I mean, being a doctor is a ministry. Being a lawyer is a ministry. All you got to do is be faithful in that area, in that arena that God has called you to. Not everybody is called to a teaching and preaching ministry in the church. And I think we have misconstrued what a vocation is, and people have went off on the deep end. And I've been in churches where everything in the church is a ministry gift. Something wrong there. If everything in the church is a ministry gift, if everything in the church is a deacon, a pastor, evangelist, teacher, and all that, something wrong. Everybody can't be leaders. Somebody got to be followers. So everything. And you do not have to have a title to be in ministry. You do not have to be ordained to be in ministry. Watch this. Through your baptism, you was ordained to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a witness of the crucifixion. You are called into ministry by way of your baptism. You are called to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. That is a ministry in itself. You don't need a title. You got people say, I don't like to have a title from a name, so I use the name servant. You just use the word, when you put servant in front of your name, you just made a title. So you don't have to have a title to be in ministry. Just do the work. Okay, next thing. The second myth. Those who occupy the pulpit are somehow greater, better, and more spiritual than others. The pulpit is not a place of exaltation, but it is a place of service. It is a place on which the shepherd guards and watch over the sheep, and God has placed us there to see to the needs of his people. 1 Peter 5:1-4, 1 Timothy 3:1-7, Acts 20:28, and other scriptures. So the pulpit is not a place where people are better than others out there. They're more spiritual. Now, the Bible does say that those that sit in the pulpit, though God calls us all to be holy, they are definitely supposed to be holy up there. He calls us all to be righteous. But those are supposed to be an example of righteousness. So, yes, all of us are called to be great. But even more so, those in the pulpit. Don't mean that they're better. But they need to live their life as an example to others. I'm not better because I'm an apostle. I'm not better because I'm a bishop in the Lord's church. I'm not better because having this title for my name does not make me better. And we got so many people that are stuck on stupid in the church. They think these titles make them better than folks. So they can look down their nose on people. But the pulpit is not a place of exaltation. It is a place of service and humility. Jesus, being Lord and Master, knelt down, stripped himself of his garment, wrapped a towel around himself, and he washed his disciples' feet. And he told his disciples that the servants are not greater than his Lord, neither are they greater than he that sent him. Neither is he greater than he that sent him. So you're not better because you got a pulpit ministry. You're not better because you're an apostle, you're a prophet, you're evangelist, pastor, teacher. You're not better. But you are called to be an example. Third myth. Is it wrong to aspire to leadership in the church? People say, you can't aspire to be a prophet. You can't aspire to be an apostle. You can't aspire to be this, that, and the third. Well, they ain't read the Bible. Then they get up there and they preach. Well, I read 1 Timothy 3:1, for it says this is a true saying for man, desire the office of a bishop, and the bishop is a desired office. But what they did not read is that according to 1 Timothy 1:1, the words office of a bishop is one word, which is episcope. And the word desire, there's two words for desires in that text, and both of them mean something different. Two Greek words we have a one English word that said desire, but it's two Greek words in that text for the word desire. If a man is aspiring for the office of bishop, the idea there is that somebody is reaching for an office that they have been called to. And we know that they have to be called to it because Acts 20:28 says that the Holy Spirit has made you bishops over the church to pastor the church of God. So then, Paul said, I'm trying to get a hold of that. Philippians 3, he said, I'm trying to get a hold of that has already gotten a hold of me. So the only reason why I'm reaching for that, the only reason why Paul, it was trying to be an apostle, because the apostleship got a hold of him. So he started aspiring to be that because it got a hold of him. So you have, are you hearing me? But the thing is, in order to aspire for these positions, you got to be called. For we even talk about any other qualification. You should not aspire for a position in the church that God has not called you to. Can I say that one more time? Do not aspire for a position in church that God has not called you to. If he ain't called you to it, then stay away from it. If he has not called you to it, stay away from it. As the old folks used to say in the Baptist church, it's better to be axed up than to be axed down. So if God ain't called you to it, stay away from it. We got too many people doing things in church they have no business whatsoever doing. God ain't called them to it. God ain't called them no way, shape, form, or fashion. The fourth myth in the church, the highest office in the church, is the apostle or the bishop. And so we have Negroes. Excuse me. We have people. Lord have mercy. Y'all forgive me. We have people who, and that word was spelled K-N-E-E, that G-R-O-W-S. And we have people who are so stuck on rank and file positions where they think that this is what the Bible said. And they can't read, because if they could read, they'll notice that the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, never said that the apostle was the highest office. It just simply said God first established in the church the apostle. It'll be crazy for God to establish the deacon first when the deacon didn't come along to Acts chapter 6. But Jesus being the apostle and high priest of our profession, the first two positions established in the New Testament church was the apostle and high priest of our profession, which is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3 and 1. Jesus, through the by the unction of the Holy Spirit, through the motioning of the Father, established other apostles in the church. And God, by way of the Holy Spirit, through the agency of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his apostles, established other ministries in the church. He didn't say, I set them in church because they was first in rank. He said he established them in the church because they were first in time. Proton there means first in time. Now, it can mean first in rank, but the context lets us know that it's not first in rank, it's first in time. First in time. So what is the highest office in the church? It is a servant. It is the office of servant, because we're all called to serve. As my granddaddy was singing an old Baptist hymn, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my power engage, because I'm going to do my master's will. So the greatest office in the church is the office of a servant. Because we're all called to serve. The only Lord we got is Jesus. And the only reason why we can call ourselves a Lord in the little sense, a little L, because we are supposed to be submitted to Jesus. But Jesus told us not to be lords over God's heritage. But yet we have brothers and sisters who think once they get into the office of a bishop, office of an apostle, they can lord it over God's folks, and they act like they are the person, and they are the stuff, they are it, and nobody can't tell them nothing what to do. My brothers and sisters, you something wrong with you. Something wrong if that's the myth that you want to believe. Myth you want to believe. The next myth, the fifth myth, that people say in church, can't no bishop make somebody an apostle? Ain't nowhere, but they ain't read scripture, have they? Because Acts chapter 13, verse 1 shows us prophet teachers, teachers in the word, in the Bible, the only teacher in the Bible that showed that in a pastoral role is the bishop, besides the prophet and evangelist and the apostle. And so we have five bishops / apostles. People always say, the scripture never showed Paul was a bishop. They ain't read the text, because the text says in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, that there was prophet teachers, prophetes kai didaskalos is what the text says in the Greek. Prophetes kai didaskalos. And who were they? It's the five men that was listed in the text were both prophets and teacher, because the word kaideh connects teacher to prophet in an intimate way without separating the two. So that means that those teachers were bishops, elders of the church, and those bishops in that church who was also prophets was told by the Holy Spirit while they was worshiping to set two of them numbers apart, and one of them was Paul and the other one was Barnabas, to the office of apostles. We know this because Acts chapter 14 says that after those three bishops laid, who also prophets, laid hands on two of the other bishops that was in that the two bishops, Barnabas and Paul, they became apostles in the church. Read it for yourself. Stop believing all these lies and stuff folks keep putting out there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have so much going on. So much going on in the church. And people misconstrue the word. They misconstrue the Bible. Apostles can't be bishops. Bishops can't be apostles. But yet Timothy and Titus was both bishops and apostles. Apostles ain't bishops, but yet Peter says that the apostleship was a bishopric. And Matthias was made an apostle, and his apostleship was called the office of a bishop, which is a pastor. Every one of those fivefold, well, y'all call them fivefold, I call them fourfold. Every one of those fourfold ministries are pastoral, because the word pastor means is poimen, and poimen means to shepherd, to feed. And every one of those four ministries, shepherd and feed the flock of God. Hello, somebody. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever. Amen. What other myths we want to address real quick before we get off this particular program here as we deal with this subject? Ranking. There is no such thing as ranking in the Bible. There is no such thing as hierarchy in the Bible. I challenge you to show me hierarchy as we have today in the Bible, because the Bible shows ministry that was complementary, which is why Paul in Corinthians specifically says these words. He said, we all can't be the head, we all can't be the eyes, we all can't be the feet, but we all are one body, many members, but we are one body. And each member has its particular place and function in the body. The head is not the body by itself, the feet is not the body by itself, the eyes are not the body by itself, the hands are not the body by itself. So every ministry, every person, their gifts and their ministry are complementary. And when we put everything together, good God from Zion, the body can do and function like it's supposed to function. There's one head in the church, and that's Jesus. All the rest of us are under shepherds, but that one head is Jesus. So there's no ranking in the church. I'll rank you because I'm an apostle. Sit down somewhere. Take you about three or four seats. I'll rank you because I'm a bishop in the Lord's church. Go, this is a bishop and apostle telling you, go sit down somewhere because you don't know your Bible. Go sit down. You are part of the problem. You are not a part of the solution. You are part of the problem and the mess that we have, and the reason why we got folks jumping, shooting for these positions in the church, because you have made it seem like that they are not worth it. It's not worth it being a pastor. You have made it seem like it's not worth being an elder. You have made it seem like it's not worth being a deacon. You have made ministry a mockery out of ministry because you think you outrank people. And you don't outrank people. I can prove it to you, because get out there and try to cast out some demons and see what happens. They're going to tell you every way but loose, because you think your rank matter. Your rank don't matter to demons. They don't care what's in front of your name. They only care if you got Jesus in your life. Because if you ain't got Jesus in your life, they're going to do you like that man did when he tried to say, I adjure you in the name of the one Paul preached. And that demon jumped out of other folks, jumped in him and turned him every way but loose. Some of y'all are probably going to get whipped by some demons. And maybe the church will get on the right track again. Maybe the church will get back in order again if we have some demons attack some folks for real. I said this past weekend in a conference, you can tell those people who are really called by God, because the devil is always attacking them. He's always messing with them. He's always after them. You can tell the ones whom God has truly called and God has truly anointed, because the devil is always disturbing their peace. He's always disturbing their minds. He's always fighting them. Because when you are encroaching upon the enemy's camp, the enemy does not sit still and play dead. He gets mad. He gets violent. And he starts coming after the people of God. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I feel my health right about now. Oh, glory. Thank you. Oh, my. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And those who have been violated stand up and take it by force. Too many weak and jellyback preachers in the church who think that their title means power. But if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you have no power. If you don't have the anointing of God operating your life, you have no power. I don't care if you bishop of the moon, you have no power. Oh, Lord. It don't matter if your church has 5,000 members. If you can't cast out a devil, you have no power. Go sit down somewhere until you get some power. I don't care how much money your ministry got. If you don't have power enough to heal the sick and to raise the dead, sit down somewhere. Because you got religion, you got a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. One thing I can say, and I don't say this to be bragging and all that, but I can say God is good, has been good to me. He has time and time again confirmed the apostolic on my life. That's why I don't need nobody to validate who I am. Some of you have to run to this school and that college and this college. I don't need that to validate me. My work speaks for itself. Glory be to God. People, another myth people try to say, you need to have at least 3 to 5 churches under you to be a bishop. You can't be a bishop unless you have been an elder for 5 years. You know, only thing the Bible says that a bishop should not be is a novice in the faith. Not a novice in the ministry, a novice in the faith. Which means you don't get saved tomorrow and become a bishop saved today and become a bishop tomorrow. You ain't been saved long enough. You can't be a new convert, a neophyte, I believe is what the word says. You cannot be a neophyte, a new convert, and think you can become a bishop. You have to be somebody who's, when they give you the title of elder, it means you are mature in the faith. And there are a lot of our brethren who are calling themselves elders, who are calling themselves bishops, who are calling themselves apostles and evangelists and prophets, who are just little children with titles. I'll say it again before I take it back. I add more to it. They're little children with titles. Let me help you one more time and bless you. Well, I already made some of you mad. They're nothing but little kids with titles. I don't care if you're 6 years old. If you're acting like a little child, you're still a little kid with titles. You don't need to have 5 churches and 10 churches and this ministry, that many churches to be a bishop. You just need a church to be assigned to. Because you are planted to be a bishop so that you can do a work, not because you have a work. How can you get an apple tree to produce apples when the seed first has not been planted in the ground? Let me get a seed and let me plant it in the ground first. Then I can look for an apple tree. Let me find me a man or a woman that I can set into an area that needs a bishop. Good God from Zion. And I'll plant them in that area and I'll watch them grow up and I'll watch them become what God has called them to become in this day and in this hour. Like Esther said, you have been called to, I've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I know, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, I know what my assignment is. As an archbishop and metropolitan for the apostolic communion of churches, I know what my assignment is. Good God from Zion. As the archbishop and primus of the Congress of Apostles and Bishops, I know what my assignment is. And I know what God has called me to do. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. good God from Zion. And that means that we're going to search out for young brothers and search out for young sisters. And young don't just necessarily young in age, but we're going to help them get themselves on the right track, themselves on the right track. We'll help them get their ministries on the right track. We're going to help them to produce fruits so that, as the Bible says in John 15 and 16, they can have fruit that remain. Good God from Zion. It's not time to be holding our head down, looking down our glasses, down our nose at these young brothers and sisters and older brothers and sisters who are trying to build a work. But it's our job as men and women of God to go find them and mentor them and help them and steer them in the right direction. I know we got a few bastards out there who won't listen. We got a few bastards out there who got their own mindset, a few bastards out there who think they know everything. But Lord, I'm going to kick the bastards to the side and find some people who don't mind being real sons and real daughters, mentors and mentorees that can help and push the body of Christ along. Too many people who think they know the Bible and they don't know nothing. And I'm through. I got about 3 minutes left. And so my name is Bishop Henry. I encourage you to go to Amazon.com or Barnes and Noble.com, and I think it's BNN.com for Barnes and Noble, and get my book on Episcopal Formation. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. It will bless you. It will bless you. Get the book on the liturgy. It's a little small book that deals with worship. And it even describes how we did communion at the Congress last year. My book on the liturgy. We got some more books in the making, because I believe in being a blessing to the people of God, being a blessing, being a real blessing to the people of God. Go to the Congress website. Why don't you consider being a blessing and donating to the work that we do? I know some of you are not able to make it because of the time of the year the Congress is taking place, but some of you, God has been moving on your heart to donate, and you need to really consider sowing a seed into what we do, because we're going to feed your family this year. We're going to give food to the homeless this year at the Congress. We're investing in pastors and leaders and giving them the tools that they need, so when they go back to their churches, they'll have the right tools that they need to have an effective ministry. We're going to show them how to deal with the various things that are going on in the world today. This is what the Congress is about. We're about putting practical tools in the hands of leaders so they'll know how to do the work of God, so that they may know how to govern themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. With that said, go to our website, www.coaab.org, and make a donation to the work that we have going on here. Register if you're able to come to the Congress. Register, because everybody that registers for this Congress this year gets a copy. You at least get a copy, if you don't make it, in PDF form of the 2015 syllabus. And it's going to be a great syllabus, a bigger syllabus. It's going to be our biggest syllabus yet. A lot of information is going to be in it. You need to register. You need to register for the Congress. Everybody, whether you come or not, if you registered for the Congress this year and you pay the registration, you will get a PDF copy of the syllabus this year. A PDF copy will be emailed to you. And thank you so much for your support. God bless you for your time. I'm glad that you're listening to me. And I pray that you got something today out of this broadcast. Again, my name is Bishop Thomas Frank Henry Jr., and you have been listening to The Apostolic Voice. God bless you. Have a great day.